Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's time for your favorite show. The Weekend Report is on the radio.
That's right, the Weekend Report is on your radio, and we certainly appreciate you joining us. My name is Tony Colombo. I am here with my partner, Chris Arps.
How are you?
Great to see you, my friend.
Good to see you, too, Tony.
Carl Middleman, our producer in the studio as well.
Hi, everybody.
Hey, and we have got a busy, busy show for you today. Especially this first hour. We've got a lot going on. A little bit later on, we are going to talk to my friend Linda Lipka. She is with The Taste in Ferguson, an event that I have had the honor to be a part of and host the last couple of years. I will be hosting it again this year. It's coming up on September 8th. And she's coming in, and I think she's bringing guests and food.
Lots of food, I hear.
And so, yeah, so that's going to be great. I love talking about The Taste in Ferguson. It is an awesome event. So we'll get into that a little bit later on. In the next segment, and I actually want to keep this first segment pretty short because I want to leave a lot of time to talk to Representative Nick Schroer, State Rep Nick Schroer, Newsmaker Nick, as I call him. He's been on the show many, many times. There's a lot happening with the Missouri abortion law that is set to take effect at the end of the month, and it's coming up next week, I think, August 28th. So that has been challenged every which way from Sunday, legally, and there was stuff that happened with that bill this week. So I want to get the latest on everything happening with that. There's also a special session that is being called that he's obviously going to need to be a part of that I want to talk to him about. So we're going to get it all into that stuff with Nick Schroer in just a few minutes. Want to remind you that if you want to download the podcast of this show, you can do so absolutely free on the radio.com app. Great way to make sure that you don't miss any of this great content that is about to come your way. Make sure you don't miss any of this information. And if you do miss it, you can download the podcast and get it. Or if you hear it and you just want to hear it again, the free podcast is the best way to do so. Download the radio.com app on your phone or your tablet, and then you favorite the radio station and you got it all. You have the 24/7 access to the stream of the station, and you can download all the podcasts from all of the shows here on the radio station. So check that out on the radio.com app. All right, we are going to take a quick break, and then we are going to get into it with State Rep Nick Schroer. Newsmaker Nick is in the building, and we're going to talk to him next. Don't go anywhere. It is the Weekend Report on FM News Talk 97.1. To the Weekend Report. It's FM News Talk 97.1. Tony Colombo, Chris Arps, Carl Middleman in studio.
Hey!
And as I mentioned in the first segment, joining us now in the studio is our good friend, State Representative, Newsmaker Nick Schroer.
Thank you, guys.
Newsmaker! Nick and his awesome hat. I love how you...
He's got his horses in the back.
You won't even take the hat off to put the headphones on. You've got the headphones on around the back of your head.
We got to take a picture. So Carl, get a picture of that.
We've got
you know
take
who
a
does that also? What? Senator Blunt.
Oh, yeah?
Senator Blunt has a hat like this?
No, he doesn't have a hat like this. He doesn't want to mess up his hair.
Oh, so he puts him around
the back.
His, his hair is probably more expensive than his hat. Just to get that
dude,
that
you
level
could totally do a version of... what's
Tombstone?
You were just singing it.
Lil Nas X.
Yeah, yeah. You could totally
Old Town Road.
Oh,
I've never heard that song. You've never heard Old Town Road? No.
Oh, you need to go listen to
it. I stick to Spotify.
It's only a minute and a half long.
Yeah, and you've got the voice and the look. Go check it out.
Maybe I'll do my own version.
Go check it out.
You know, when we broadcast at the Republican convention back in February when we Senator Blunt come to our table.
Senator Blunt sat down with us.
He had his headphones on, Carl.
He did.
Correctly? Yeah, I can't remember.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
We have a picture.
All was right. his hair blowing in the wind, though?
He had some hairspray on there, so I don't think it's going
some pomade.
Anywhere.
Yeah, some pomade. Yeah, thank you guys for having me on again.
Yeah,
lot,
you bet.
A lot has been happening.
No kidding, and I want to dive into it because, you know, we only have a certain amount of time, and there's so much to talk about. So, as most people know, Nick is one of the authors, primary authors, of Missouri's abortion bill, that abortion law that has, you know, garnered lots of controversy. It's been talked about nationwide, and there has been lawsuits and action taken to try to stop the law from being implemented. None of that to this point has seemed to be able to stick. There was more in the news this week. So just tell us where we're at as far as the Missouri abortion law, the one that would ban the procedure after 8 weeks of pregnancy.
Right.
Where do we stand on that?
Well, as of right now, the judicial proceedings have kind of run their course of the ones that we knew of previously, trying to get a referendum and trying to challenge this law by going to the people within a certain period of time to get over 100,000 signatures.
Yeah.
The ACLU and those challenging this law, they knew of that. They knew of the laws put in place. And then they all of a sudden backed out at the last minute saying, well, we don't think we're going to be able to get enough signatures. So what they did in the interim, and something that I heavily advised people against, just because of the way that this bill is structured, I said, look, we've structured this bill not to cause judicial challenges, but to withstand them. Mm-hmm. So if you wanted to challenge it, you should have stuck to the state courts. If this goes federal, then you guys are the ones trying to get this to the Supreme Court, not us. We abided by all the cases from Roe v. Wade, Casey, Gonzalez, and all the standards that are put in place in structuring the bill in the way we did. So I think the cases in Alabama and Georgia, those that are just a hard heartbeat bill and don't have what we have in it and the different structures and links to the legislative findings, those might be easier to overturn the Eighth Circuit. Here we have the Eighth Circuit, which Trump has added two new judges to. I think at the initial level, this case has a better chance of getting thrown out at the initial level, so we're going to have to wait for the appellate process. And at that appellate level, that's where you have the most pro-life circuit in the nation. Mm. And I think it's going to be upheld. I think the bill will be upheld in the Eighth Circuit on the appellate level. And then at that point in time, there's going to be a discussion on if they want to proceed any further. If it is upheld in the Eighth Circuit, I think that is going to start that ripple effect that I wanted in setting new abortion precedent and jurisprudence, so to speak, across the nation, where the show me state will not be ones looking at other people wanting to structure common sense legal prohibitions on abortion will look to us and mirror what we did.
So right now the bill is set to go into effect this
at the
coming
end of
week,
the month,
right?
Yes,
on August 28th.
Correct.
Will that happen?
The only way that that's not going to happen, and that's going to be, is if the federal court, it's in federal court as of now. I have not looked. I didn't look at the end of last week to see if there's going to be a stop on that, if they're going to grant some sort of injunction, which they've asked for. But that injunction would only be on certain things, on the 8, 14, 18, and 20-week bans, the tiered process that we have, and also on the selective abortion. So we had a prong in there which was put in place, which would stop the selective abortions for the baby having a sex that you don't want, a race that you don't want, or having Down syndrome. So they challenged those two. Those are the only two that the injunction would apply to if granted.
Nick, put on your political hat for a moment. There you go.
There it goes.
We know that abortion is a holy grail issue for the Democrats, but they also feel it's a political issue that they can win with suburban women, which have been a pivotal electoral block in the elections. How does this play in 2020 in Missouri? Missouri's a pretty red state, but Trump won by 9 or 11 points. But will this bill, because it's going to be framed as harsh, will it hurt people like Ann Wagner in her district, which is becoming more and more purple? How do you feel about that coming in the future?
Well, looking at the polling in my district alone, we did polling on this, and this is what pushed me to actually file this bill. The people in my district, and I think most of the people in the state of Missouri, wanted harsher restrictions, further restrictions on abortion. So the way that we structured this bill, the woman would have no hurdles in the way from conception up to that 2 month period, the 8 week period. And, you know, we didn't put any allowances thereafter, after the 8, 14, 18 and 20. And if the 8 week is thrown out, she would have no prohibitions up until 14, thereafter 18 and 20 weeks. So the way that that's structured, I think the more non-biased media attention this bill gets, the better our chances of this thing being something that is very palatable for all Missourians. I think the moderates that I've spoken with in my district, when they hear the news clippings of, oh, this will require victims of rape and incest to have babies, and I give them the bill and say that is not the case whatsoever. It's after that 14, 18, and 20-week period where science has proven, the legislative findings that are put in place, that that baby is a unique body. It has its own set of DNA, its own eyes, fingers, toes. It is, you know, it's not the whole my body, my choice thing. It's another body within your body.
Right.
So with that being explained in the actual language, the actual law being explained to moderates, more moderates that are in my district, more moderates that are in St. Charles County that I've spoken to, say that this is a common sense approach. It's not it's not the extremes on the other side in New York, Virginia, and even Illinois. And it's not on the other side where they think, you know, they think that the overall prohibition on abortion, which happened in, I believe it was Alabama.
Yep.
while some, including myself, I agree with the concept of that. I do not like abortion. I do not like the concept. But we have something called the law, which we had to abide by and which we did abide by in this case.
Missouri, Alabama, and several other states passed controversial bills this year. Which one of these bills, if any of them, have a chance to be the one that goes to the Supreme Court, where we finally maybe will have an ultimate decision on it, hopefully going back
something
to the states?
Something that would challenge Roe v. Wade.
Which one of these and I'm not saying your bill is designed for that, but is this bill one that could get to the Supreme Court?
I wouldn't have predicted one of their first moves, the ACLU, the Planned Parenthoods of the world, to challenge us in federal court, because that's going to expedite this getting to the Supreme Court, if that's the course that they wanted. The other states that you mentioned, I know legislators, I've seen the news clippings from Alabama and Georgia saying, yes, we want to take this to the Supreme Court. That was not the case here. We looked at abortion jurisprudence. We looked at all the hurdles that we had to jump over to say, okay, well, we put this in place. We see what the judges wanted, and we put that in our bill. So I think which one has the best chance of actually challenging, it would be us. You know, we're not the most extreme, so to speak. We don't go as far as the other bills, but I think at the end of the day, kind of like the St. Louis Blues, they weren't the strongest, fastest team, but they were the most cohesive. They were most put together. And I think at the end of the day, we're going to be the St. Louis Blues. We're going to be still standing at the end of this.
If hypothetically, if something were to be challenged in this bill and the 8 weeks were to get knocked out, but it stood, the 14 weeks stood, and that became the law of the land in the state of Missouri. 14 weeks, any pregnancy after that would make abortion illegal after that point. Would you and other Republicans in the state call it a win and think that, you know, this is okay, we've reached our goal with this, and let's focus on other things? Or would you begin the fight again to bring that number back?
Well, for me, in other...
Hypothetically.
Well, hypothetically, yeah. If the 8 weeks is kicked out, if the 14 weeks is kicked out, if we set new precedent, and if this bill saves one baby in the state of Missouri, that is a victory to me. That was the overall goal. Is I am pro-life from womb to tomb, I have stated, with the criminal justice reform and other bills that I've pushed. So if this bill saves one life, it is a victory. If it sets precedent, which would allow other states to look and say, okay, 14 weeks, that's the new threshold that we can move it to, amazing. That would be a blessing. Mm-hmm. I know others, other legislators in the state of Missouri, and I know other legislators elsewhere have indicated that they won't stop until Roe v. Wade is overturned. So gotcha. I can't speak for them, but I do know for me, yes, that would be a victory if we're saving lives.
Nick, I've got two strikes against me. One, I don't live in a rural area, and one, I don't understand special sessions all that much and all of this. So we've got a special session that's coming up that's dealing with...
I thought it was special just because I was invited.
No. That's the next one, maybe after that. But can you explain to us exactly what is this special session that's going on at the governor called that has a little bit of controversy attached to it?
Anything that the governor does, the Democrats are going to throw spears at. But yes, this is a special session. It's been very tight and narrowly tailored to call to address the recent Kellebrink decision. And I'm referring to some notes that I have here. The Kellebrink decision was something on June 25th, 2019, very recent. A Supreme Court decision in the state of Missouri that stated that only one vehicle, when you go into trade in vehicles, the Supreme Court said only one vehicle can be sold and used as a credit to offset the sales tax on the purchases of a new vehicle. And this was a case where these individuals came in with a number of different cars that they were just trading in and trying to apply that sales to offset the sales tax. Right. So what we're going to do, and this has been interpreted different ways up until now, up until June, some areas would allow it on a number of vehicles and some would only say one. We're going to try to come back and come into the special session. And I think it should be very quickly. It's at the same exact time that we're required to be out there anyway. So no new charges.
Session? Is that
for the veto session?
It's, okay.
Correct.
So it's happening at the same time
at
as the
exact
veto
same
session
time.
Would. Okay. Got it.
So ultimately,
so you'll do both of those things at once.
No, we would have to gavel in for one and gavel out and then gavel back in for the veto session.
Got it.
But ultimately, if this is not fixed, Missourians are going to be limited in offsetting their tax liability. So we're going to try to change that and apply it. The new law, which says, yes, you're allowed to offset that tax liability with any of those vehicles that you're selling.
Did I miss during the session, were there people protesting on the lawn there at the Capitol saying that they wanted this, or were they stopping you in Jefferson City in the hallway saying,
no,
we want this done, please get this done?
Not in my district. Okay. I think my district was one which had
trying
that,
to figure
that
it
open
out.
Why this is important enough to have a special session?
Yeah.
Right.
Well, I know, saving Missourians taxpayer dollars, and this is a non-controversial issue, and I think that when the decision occurred in June, this
so
was
it's
after...
Easy.
It's easy. Yeah. It should be easy. And this is after we gaveled out, so this isn't something that we necessarily knew.
And like you said,
knew.
You'd be coming there anyway.
We're going to come there anyway. It's not
so
causing...
So nobody had to change plans to...
Right.
Everybody knew they were coming back to Jeff City for this time period anyway.
And there is some concern of special sessions in the past going 2, 3, 4 weeks, months.
Right.
And then that causes a lot of extra taxpayer dollars to pay for the per diems and the mileage.
Sure.
And this is not something like that. And I know other people have indicated, such as Senator Onder in St. Charles County, has wanted the special session to be called to fix the redistricting thing that was stuck into Clean Missouri.
I'd love to see that.
Yeah. I would love to see it too, but I don't think that's something we can fix in one day.
Right.
We're almost out of time. There's one more I wanted to touch on. Speaking of special sessions, and I'm sure this is going to, we'll be talking with Nick Schroer about this a whole lot coming up. Nicole Galloway, mm-hmm. state auditor, who's now running for governor, has requested that Mike Parson also call a special session to address the task force findings about school violence and preventing it. And she, from what I've read, is in favor of what the task force found, which is to put an armed officer in every school. I think the way she wants to pay for it is a little bit backwards.
Right.
But interesting to see a Democrat in the state of Missouri wanting to put armed officers in every school. That doesn't sound like the people running, the Democrats that I know that are running for president.
Claire McCaskill.
Does that,
oops, let me get that in right
there. Does that highlight sort of the difference between Missouri Democrats and the Democrats at the top of the ticket? And then what are your thoughts on the idea of a special session to get that security bill
passed? Well, you know,
passed?
To me, it does not astonish me that she's going to try to use the talking point. She knows that Missouri, from looking at Claire McCaskill and others, Missouri is a very proud pro-Second Amendment state.
Mm-hmm.
Now, little does she know, and she's been in the building longer than I have. I was elected in 16, started serving in 17. Prior to that, when she was in the building, there was a law that was passed which would enable the districts, the school districts, to put armed guards in there.
Yeah.
So they already have the ability to do this.
Wait, I had an armed cop in my high school in the 90s.
Right, right. So that's a decision that
in the 80s.
Yeah. The districts can make themselves. And I believe that there was some legislation this year to make that a requirement that you had to force the districts to do that. She did not come and support that. So I think that this is just the talking point. She's trying to get more media attention on this. I think if she was truly concerned about this, just as I was on the different committees that I sat in, trying to fix some of the pieces of legislation that came before us on gun violence and on violence in the city, she would have been right there joining us. But she hasn't. She's never picked up the phone to call me or others that were on that committee that dealt with Second Amendment bills or you know, violence in the city of St. Louis. So I look forward. She knows my phone number. So I'm looking forward to working with her in her capacity as auditor and as she's running to replace somebody that I very much support, Governor Mike Parson, who's done a lot for the state, including something I think we might hear in the next couple of weeks. And that might have a $1 billion ring to it out at GM Wentzville plant.
All right. Well, we'll have to bring you back and talk more about that. That is State Rep Nick Schroer, Newsmaker Nick.
Ah, yeah.
And here's your song.
It's the first time I'll ever hear it.
Yeah, so here. Listen, you could be this guy, right?
This is the jam,
Let
Nick.
It get into it for a second.
This is the jam.
You could drop these bars. Yeah. Right here. I'll do this part for you. I'll sing.
You'll do this one.
And then you do the rapping. So this is my part, right?
I am from Ferguson. I could do the rapping.
I know. That's what I'm saying. So
who does that part?
Here's you, right here.
I got the horses in the back. Horse stock is attached.
This was the number one song
for 4 months.
It's got a beat, though, Nick. Come on.
It's got a good beat, but
it's Nine Inch Nails, actually.
Trent Reznor.
Yeah.
The beat is?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. It's Nine Inch Nails' first number one song.
No kidding.
Wow. I thought it
there are a lot of good Nine Inch Nails songs that are a lot better than this.
Yeah. You got it? You can do it.
Oh, yeah.
We'll work
That's
on
you,
it later.
Though. I can see it.
We'll work on it later.
We can do it live at 97.1.
Stay Rip Nick Schroer. Thanks so much. How can people follow you on social media, all that good stuff?
I won't be listening to Old Town Road.
Yeah, you will.
You can follow me at nick4rep.com. It's got my Twitter handle, which I don't even know what it is, and my Facebook, all linked onto it, nick4rep.com. And if Trent Reznor wants to write me a beat, maybe we can work on that.
There you go.
We can have a rebuttal to Old Town Road.
All right, we got to take a break. When we get back, I have seen and smelled the food. My friend Linda Lipka is here, and she's got some friends with her. We're going to talk about a great event. Speaking of Ferguson, the Taste in Ferguson is coming up in just a few weeks. I'm going to be there. I think Chris is going to be there.
Some Farachi pizza.
Yeah.
Oh, Farachi.
We'll tell you all about it next. Don't go anywhere. It's the Weekend Report on FM News Talk 97.1. I'll never take advantage of you. I'll never sit again. I'll do what you tell me. Hello and welcome back to the Weekend Report. It's FM News Talk 97.1. Tony Colombo, Chris Arps, Carl Middleman in studio. Big thanks again to State Rep Nick Schroer, who just joined us in that last segment, giving us an update on everything happening with the Missouri legislature and the latest on the Missouri abortion law. If you guys missed any of that, always don't forget, you can go back and check out our show every week on the podcast, which is absolutely free. Best way to get the podcast is the radio.com app. Download the radio.com app on your tablet or phone. Favorite the radio station, FM News Talk 97.1, and then you have access to everything. You can stream the station 24/7, and you can download our podcast absolutely free. We're having some microphone issues. I'll keep stalling. You fix the microphone issues.
Should be good now.
Awesome. Radio.com app, like I said, it's free. You can stream the station, and you can access all the podcasts from all the shows here, including the Weekend Report, so you can take us with us all week long. And you won't miss any of the great discussions that we have, like the one that I mentioned in the last segment that we're about to have right now with Linda Lipka, who is the person that runs the Taste in Ferguson, an event that I have been lucky enough to be a part of for the last couple of years, and I'm going to be there again. Linda, it's great to see you. You've brought friends. You've brought food. Tell us.
Yay!
Yes, well, thank
tell
you.
Tell us about the event and who is joining us in studio today.
Awesome. I'm glad to do so. So just to let you know, I am not the only person that runs this event, so right up front, I want to thank the McGartland family, Bob and Peggy McGartland. Bob owns Robinwood Automotive, and my husband and Mark Byrne, who owns Byrne Law Firm. These five people, we all work together, and this is our event and our nonprofit Angels at Work that creates this event, the Taste in Ferguson. Who I have with me today is Jerry McClure with Paul's Market. He is a two-year winner in the barbecue category, mm-hmm. and they are determined to maintain their reign of supreme barbecue within the area. But we have some extremely good competition coming up after them this year. And then we also have with us Dari Metzger with, did I say your last name right?
Pearson.
Oh, I'm sorry. I've known her a long time, so I've known her before she was a Pearson, so to speak. But Dari is the owner. Her and her family owns Papa Murphy's in Florissant, yes. Missouri. And she has been a participant in this event for 6 years out of the seven. Well, actually, yeah, 6 years out of the seven. And actually, what's really kind of cool about these two people sitting next to me is that this event is done as a fundraiser and a memorial event in honor of my daughter, Samantha Lipka, who passed away in a car accident in 2007 as a senior at McClure High School. And then the McGartlands lost their son, Robbie McGartland, in 2014 as a sophomore in college. And what's interesting to me as I was driving out here thinking about this is the two people sitting next to me both knew Sam and watched her grow up.
Wow.
So not only are they phenomenal restaurateurs and great support to our event, but they are also people who know why I do this and who I do it for.
Yeah. Yeah. It's an amazing story. It's a tragedy that no parent wants to Mm-mm. think about or ever have to experience. And you have taken that horrible experience and you have created an event that brings a entire community together. It's in Ferguson, but you mentioned, you know, there are businesses and a lot of the people that attend that are from Florissant and Hazelwood and other places around the area. And, you know, we can talk about the Ferguson community and what it's been through, but it's just amazing and a true testament to not only you, but the entire community, the way that we come together for these type of events. I'm a Florissant guy. I talk about that all the time. Everybody knows that, how much I'm a supporter of the North County and the Florissant area. And people don't realize that we can do these type of awesome events, and it's a great place to be.
And, you know, the thing that I have really worked on over these years, and so has Bob, is not only do we want to focus on Ferguson and show people what an awesome community it is, but we also make a very concentrated effort to bring restaurants from all over the St. Louis area into this event. Because as people come into this community and they see it firsthand, they're like, whoa, this is really cool. And a great example of that is Beast Block. He's got a new name. It's Beastcraft Barbecue is how I know them.
Yeah, yeah.
But they are representing their newer restaurant there in Tower Grove. And this is their second year. And he came out as a special guest chef 3 years ago and was blown away by how great it was. Then he competed last year on Paul's Market beat him, which he's assured me that's not happening again. And so he's in it again this year. And, you know, we've got our reputation is growing with this being our seventh year. So this year we've added some really interesting restaurants. We've got Earth Dance is now in it with their own personal chef, who is an award-winning chef. We have Om Turtle Cafe that's new, TKO Grill that's new, Cafe de la Shah Catering is new, Peelwood Fire Pizza has come on board. They're new to our event. Chicken Salad Chicks has come on board. Mm-hmm. They're new to our event. That's So Good Pop-Up Buffet. You know, so we've added some awesome restaurants on top of our terrific Man Meats is new. They're making a name for themselves in the Florissant area. But then, you know, we've got our hardcore people that have really built this because of their participation. And they're not giving up their titles.
Right.
Amore Pizza is not giving up theirs. Paul's Market isn't giving up theirs. You know, now Dari's determined to make Amore Pizza eat those words. But But, so, you know, a little good, healthy competition is awesome. And it's a benefit to all the people who come because they get to eat really, really good food for $30.
So I want to talk to Jerry and Darian in 1 second, but just so people kind of understand what the event is all about, if they want to come out to the Taste in Ferguson, you talk about all these different competitions. So there's a lot of food, but there's also there's speakers and there's music. So talk about the whole event.
So the whole event. So the competition itself is called the Gourmet Gauntlet. The whole event is called the Taste in Ferguson.
Yeah.
The Taste in Ferguson will also embrace a whole slew of activity. We've got a children's area. Fred Bird's going to be there at 4 o'clock. Children's area is designed and ran by the Marquette Catholic High School cheerleading squad and their parents, and they come in with some of the neatest opportunities for kids to do fun stuff, and that's a huge crowd pleaser. We also have live music. We are opening with the River City Blues Band, and then our headliner is the Experience Band, which is awesome. We have our beer, wine, and spirit tasting, and we're going to have commemorative cups this year where you can buy the cup for $20, and you'll get eight drink tickets with that, so that's a really good value. We have our liquor samples will be Stumpy's, Mastermind Vodka, Cardinal Sin Vodka, Vino Gallery, Gray Eagle, Schlafly's, Urban Chestnut, Four Hands. I mean, all at Brew House, Ferguson's own brewery.
Yeah.
All of those will be represented to be able to sample their products. And then we will have all kinds of fun stuff going on, too. We'll have a 50-50 that will go on through the whole 3 hours. So once we announce that, somebody's going to win a big chunk of change.
Yeah.
We have these awesome grab bags.
I can't remember the amount we raised last year with that 50-50, but it was a lot.
It was a lot.
I was shocked.
I thought you were going to say something else.
Yeah, I know. I was that shocked at how much money we raised last year.
But we bring in a lot of sponsors. Centene and Emerson have headline sponsored this event. Yeah. We really thank them. CJ's DJ service, he comes in and does all of our sound. Yeah. He's a dear, dear friend of mine. And, so he actually watched Samantha grow up as well. So, I mean, and then the Savoy Banquet Center, they have been so gracious as to give us their location for 7 years now. And Tony Lanero and his family are just awesome. And Tony watched both our kids grow up. He knows Robbie and Sam from way back when. So this is his contribution to the memory of our kids, too.
We'll mention this again before we wrap this up, but where's the best place to get information and buy tickets?
So what I would say the best place for everybody to get their hands on is our website. So that's going to be www.thetasteinferguson.com.
Yes.
Tickets are $30. All of your money goes... All of the proceeds from this event goes into scholarships that we give throughout the North County area, Ferguson-Florissant School District, and pretty much, and we also give to parochial education. Pretty much the scholarships that I give to the public school system are about 90% to first-generation college students. We have also taken on the challenge of following a college student all the way to graduation this year. It's the first time I've done this.
Wow.
So I'm working with a young man by the name of Quarion Larry, and he is just so cute. He texted me yesterday, Mrs. Lipka, I'm in school. I've got my classes going. I can't believe that you're going to do this for me. You have no idea what it means to me. Thank you so much. And I mean, that's the whole reason. So the best place to get tickets, as I said, go online. Also, all of our restaurants are participating in a ticket contest. So please buy your tickets at your favorite restaurant that's going to be in our event. They're selling tickets. And just to kind of remind everybody, every single bit of work that we put into this, every single penny that we raise through this goes right back into the community in scholarships and in youth-oriented programs. Like we help FYI, we help church groups. You know, like I just got done helping pay for a bus for Ferguson Baptist Youth Group to go to Texas and clean up after Hurricane Harvey. So, I mean, the outreach
is
awesome.
Amazing. It really is. It truly is amazing. All the good that is done with this one big event, and it is a big event. It continues to grow year after year, and I am just thrilled and totally proud and honored to be a part of it. Again, Dari from Papa Murphy's is here, brought some amazing pizza. Talk about why it's important for you to participate in this stuff. I'm sure it's a lot of fun, but I'm sure there's also a little bit of like professional pride on the line, and it's just a really cool way to also get your product out in front of a whole bunch of people. Talk about why Papa Murphy's participates, and tell us a little bit about Papa Murphy's.
Okay, well, first off, the main reason why we participate is because of the Lipkas. They are very dear and close to my heart. You know, I was honored and blessed to have met Sam and watch her grow for the amount of time I knew her. And they just mean so much to me that I wouldn't miss it unless I had to. And, you know, you heard I had to miss 1 year. So that was disappointing. But yeah, just very passionate about the community. We always like to be involved with the community as much as we can. We do fundraisers for Scouts and Eagle Scouts, Girl Scouts, you know, different churches and schools. We like to be a part of everything. And we're very passionate about our product. We have a very good product. Today I brought you the Herb Chicken Mediterranean, which is an awesome pizza.
Heck yeah.
Non-traditional, you know, it's an olive oil and garlic, chicken, spinach, sun-dried tomatoes, feta cheese. It's just amazing pizza. Also brought you our new s'mores bars, which is a new dessert that we're featuring. So, yeah, so we're happy to be involved with it. It's a great time.
It's the perfect day for those because I do Atkins, and I've been doing it for like 8 months now, and I've gotten to the point where I'm at a pretty comfortable place. So now I only do Atkins on weekdays, and now that it's the weekend, I take the weekends off so I can partake.
You mean only days that end in Y? Is that what you're saying?
Only days that start in S. Those are the days that I cheat, and so I can cheat. So that's going to be awesome. And tell people where you guys are located at.
We are at 8192 North Lindbergh. That's in the Florissant Marketplace between Schnucks and Gold's Gym.
Yeah.
It's 1 mile off of 270 on Lindbergh.
It's also like 1 mile from my house.
Awesome.
I'm at that Schnucks all the time. I've been to your store. It's one of those places that if you haven't been up to Florissant, if you're not familiar with it, you need to go and check out. Anything else?
Well, our favorite day of the week is $10 Tuesday.
Yes.
Any large pizza for $10. And we're now featuring a $5 Friday, which is any large thin crust sausage, pepperoni, or cheese for $5.
Oh, love Woo-hoo. It. Yeah, got to check that out. And Jerry is here from Paul's Market. If you're from the North County area, Ferguson, Florissant, Hazelwood, I'm sure if you've been up there for any amount of time, you know all about Paul's Market. It's an amazing place. But for people that aren't familiar with it, tell people about Paul's and why it's important for you guys to be a part of the Taste in Ferguson.
Well, first and foremost, I've been in the community since 91, so knowing Sam and knowing Robbie and knowing everybody, this is an enormous community event, and, you know, we still are part of the community, so even pushing forward on that is extremely important to us. I am extremely competitive by nature.
Nice.
So, you know,
understatement.
Between sports and everything, you know, cooking, all of it. So this is right up our alley, going head to head with some big names, Beastcraft and everybody else. You know, we took them out last year and hoping to do the same this year. Paul's Market in a nutshell, 1960.
Yeah.
So we're representing 59 years, October 6th. Woohoo.
I remembered my dad whenever he was going to like have a serious barbecue. You know, like maybe you go to the grocery store if you're just barbecuing for the family on a Saturday. But if like there were people coming over and we were going to have a big barbecue, we would always drive over to Paul's and get all the meat. Like that was, I remember doing that as a kid. I remember going over there. So it's amazing, you know, the memories that I think a lot of people in the area have about Paul's.
And I think we are viewed more as a specialty place, you know, that top notch. Hey, I got people coming over. I want some killer steaks. I'm going to do some barbecue, big names, big numbers, whatever you're looking at. That still stands true today. We see a lot of it, but I think we're reaching more into the community and seeing people on a regular basis throughout the week, everyday stuff. I think grocery shopping is getting back to kind of purchasing every day, every other day type thing, just on a whim. Schedules are heavy this time of year with, you know, sports and everything else. So we're seeing a lot of people that really aren't stocking up. They're just doing day-to-day activities, and it's super fun for us to just talk to people day in and day out and get an idea of who they are and, you know, what they're into. And, you know, it's just fun chatting barbecue all day long with folks.
Yeah. That's awesome. That's awesome. Well, I can't wait to eat the pizza and the wings and the s'mores bars. That's my plan of attack as soon as we're done with this this little talk here.
So not only wings, you know, I brought our half-pound Traeger burger.
These
things are monsters. You know, we're cutting steaks all day long, so we make our own custom blend. You know, not to coin any of everybody's stuff, but it is a steak blend. Fat, meat, just good old ribeye, tenderloin, all kinds of stuff. Wood pellet smoker. So these things are wicked. I mean, we go through a ton of burgers a day. We got tons and tons of guys that come in, girls, everybody.
Yeah.
And, you know, we've been featured KSDK and a couple other people. And to see them come in and knock down a burger, which, you know, you're going to take one out today. Dude, I got Pepper Jack cheddar and blue. And
Pepper Jack's my man.
You know, with the wings like that. And these are all Atkins friendly, so I'm not getting you to cheat today. You're good to go.
They're exactly right. No, chicken wings are like Atkins, the number one thing that I eat. So, yeah, it's great stuff. Tell people where you guys are located and if you have any social media that you want to tell.
Yeah, 1020 North Elizabeth. We are 1.1 miles south of Johnny Londoff, so real easy to know where we are. Ferguson, Florissant, what's that exit? Washington Elizabeth. There you go. So 1 mile south of that, Facebook page, Paul's Market, website, paulsmarketstl.com. Like Linda said, we will have tickets on sale. Want to give a shout out to the first responders, and I'll let Linda carry that over. But mm-hmm. we are doing on 9/11, we are doing a first responder. We're doing a free burger giveaway for them.
Oh, cool.
So come in, grab a burger, grab a little meal. Just a shout out to say thank you guys for everything you do. And, you know, it's exciting watching them at Taste, too, because they are participants. Mm-hmm. And I will let Linda carry over with something we missed.
So we mentioned the website, thetasteinferguson.com. I have that also pinned on the top of my Twitter profile, at TonyColombo971, so you can get all the details there. We could talk about the Taste in Ferguson for hours. There's so much to get into, and we'll have Linda back on soon to talk some more. We only have about a minute, just a little over a minute to go. So, Linda, one more time, anything else that we need to mention about the event and, you know, how people can get tickets and participate and all that great stuff?
So, again, get tickets at the participating restaurants. Our Facebook page is The Taste in Ferguson. Our website is thetasteinferguson.com. And following up on what Jerry said, we also want to mention that we are going to continue our yearly bout between fire and police. So our fire department and our police department will go head-to-head in a food cooking challenge.
Nice.
And they are cooking up pork butts this year, so they are determined to win. And then we also just want to give a really cool thing. We actually added a sixth category to our event this year. So our categories are barbecue, international, pizza, dessert, poultry/chicken, and now we've added vegetarian. So we have Cork, Earth Dance, Fo Long, and Ohm Turtle Cafe competing in vegetarian. And then some of our newer restaurants coming in as well as Adam's Smokehouse. And as I said, Man's Meats, Beast Butcher and Block, as I said, I got it right this time. And we're bringing in Highway 67 Barbecue. He's going to be in our poultry category. So we are really, really pleased with the selections that we have. And the way it's going to work is the person buys their ticket for $30, $35 at the door. If their child is 10 or under, they're free. They come in, they grab their voting materials, they go through, they taste all the food, they vote for their favorite category or their favorite food in each category, and the winners of each category will actually receive $1,000. So your vote counts. Wow. And then we're going to make sure you have a great time. And it goes on September 8th, Sunday, Savoy Banquet Center, 119 South Florissant, Ferguson, Missouri, 3 p.m. to 6 p.m. And it is the most wonderful 3 hours of organized chaos you will ever enjoy.
It is.
And you will come out of
it's
there
awesome
so
event.
Full. Actually, we've done so well with this that Simply Thai actually opened a restaurant in Ferguson. So, people are making the investment in our community even beyond the Taste event. But
that is very cool.
You know, we just really encourage you, come out to the Taste event, buy your tickets from our restaurant, buy your tickets online, you know, tasteinferguson.com. Support it, because every single dollar you spend at our event, you are helping someone get to college and change this world.
Absolutely. It is September 8th. We'll have Linda back on again, I'm sure. But if you need more details and you want to get those tickets now, thetasteinferguson.com. Again, it's pinned at the top of my Twitter profile. Get all the information there as well.
And we got Tony, too. He's our
man. I'm going to be there. I hope you guys are going to be there. It is a wonderful, wonderful event. Darif, Jerry from Paul's, thank you guys so much for coming in. Linda, it's always great to talk with you. And we'll talk more about the Taste in Ferguson as we get a little bit closer. But it is right around the corner, September 8th. Don't miss it.
I also want to thank all of our volunteers.
Absolutely. Without them, it never would happen. All right, we got to take a break. We got a whole second hour of the Weekend Report coming up next, though. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to FM News Talk 97.1.
It's time for your favorite show. The Weekend Report is on the radio.
And it's hour number two of the Weekend Report. A very, very busy hour number one. We just got done talking to our friends from the Taste in Ferguson. So much good food from Papa Murphy's Pizza, Paul's Market. Our friend Linda Lipka from The Taste in Ferguson was just here. That great event is coming up on September 8th. If you missed any of that information, download the podcast at theradio.com app and go and check it out. Or you can always go to my Twitter, at Tony Colombo 971, and I have all the information pinned right there at the top of my profile. TheTasteInFerguson.com is the website. We also talked to Nick Schroer in that first hour about Missouri's abortion bill and some of the things happening and that will soon be happening in Jefferson City. So lots of great information in that first hour. Go back and check it out on the podcast. Got some stuff we want to get into in this hour, and we're going to talk a little bit about Bernie Sanders. What's he talking about?
It is no secret that we must transition away from fossil fuel, period, end of discussion. There ain't no middle grounds here.
There ain't no middle grounds here. I saw a great interview, Joe Rogan's podcast. He had Dan Crenshaw on, and you know, Joe Rogan just made a lot of news when he had Bernie Sanders on his podcast. So fresh off the Bernie Sanders interview, Dan Crenshaw was responding to a lot of the things that Bernie Sanders had talked to Joe Rogan mm-hmm. about, one of them being climate change and the idea of the Green New Deal and getting away from all of these different carbon emissions and all that stuff. And Dan Crenshaw was pointing out, Dan Crenshaw, of course, congressperson out of Texas. He's the one with the eye patch that, you know, the Saturday Night Live situation. Yes. He talked about how Bernie Sanders makes it sound so easy and always speaks in these very grandiose terms and how it's so easy. And if we just, you know, we could just switch over to wind and solar and the world would be such a better place. Doesn't exactly work like that.
No, it doesn't. And when you dive into Bernie's plan, Bernie says by 2050, we can totally eliminate gas house emissions, that we will have job growth through all of this, and that all we have to do is just listen to Bernie, that this is something that we have to do. And Bernie was kind of challenged on
yeah,
that.
Yeah, does Bernie do it, though? That's That was asked to him mm-hmm. this week. Go ahead, Carl.
Thank you.
So I'm a senior at CSU Chico. Criminal justice major. So my question is, you seem adamant about climate change.
Yep.
Of course. So what ways would you take to practice what you preach if you were to become president? Because I know it's stressful and you have to travel a lot and you have to use fossil fuels.
No, I'm not going to walk to California. All right. You know, look, you know, I understand that. You know, we do the best we can as an example, but I'm not going to sit here and tell you that we're not going to use fossil fuels.
And that first clip we just played, he said, we have to eliminate fossil fuels. Well, if I'm president, I'll be using fossil fuels. I mean, come on, what are you talking about?
These people are just a dichotomy of just hypocrisy.
They don't want it to infringe on their conveniences. They just want to tell you what you should give up, right?
That's the whole liberal progressive way. You know, they have global warming conferences and they all fly to them in their private planes. And then when you ask them, you know, we're all for green energy. We want that to happen. But, you know, you can't fly to the moon on green energy. You can't fly across the United States on green energy. You can't, you know, fly on or sail a ship in reasonable amount of time on green energy. We're just not there yet. And what they don't understand is that one day market forces will create a market for green energy when it's cheaper.
It's already happening.
When it's cheaper than fossil fuel energy, then there will be a market for it. But the government trying to mandate it and say we need to get rid of fossil fuels and instead pay $10 a gallon for gasoline because it's green, it just doesn't make any economic sense.
Not to mention the fact that we use, when it comes to carbon emissions and things like that, the United States is guilty for about 15% of what happens in the world. So if we were to go to zero tomorrow, 85% of the pollution is still happening in the world. All that stuff is still happening. So the world's not getting any healthier. And now we've kneecapped our ability to compete in every industry there is.
Yeah.
So it just doesn't make any sense.
The main polluters are China and India, and they don't have to abide by any of these terms. And what
if
this,
we pass the Green New Deal, it doesn't affect India
or China, and they're the worst polluters. I mean, what this really is just a money grab from the United States and the wealthier countries to third world countries under the guise of trying to help their economies. Because we know they're the ones that are doing all the polluting, but we're supposed to shift billions of dollars of our resources over to them to help with their economies. I've heard a liberal say that if four people in the United States, or if one person in the United States has to lose their job, while four people in India and China gain jobs through these measures, then it's worth it to us.
I want to rattle through some stories here real quick and just get your quick thoughts on all of them. Trump eliminating the school debt for disabled veterans. Good move, bad move.
Great move, something that probably should have been done decades ago.
Yep. There's a big discussion right now happening to bring it local in the city of St. Louis. St. Louis County Police just passed their using their Proposition P money, I believe, to get body cams on all county officers and in all county cop cars. Mm-hmm. Big discussion happening in the city. Lewis Reed says that the city has a budget surplus of $23 million. First of all, I didn't know there was a budget surplus, $23 million in the city.
Shocking.
He wants that to go to police body cameras. Whether there's a budget surplus or not, where do you come down on the idea of body cameras for
Look,
city
I think everyone is in support of body cameras, even the police union. They do have some privacy concerns with it, but I think generally they are in favor of this.
Yeah. Their concern is that if it's not a blanket across the board, everybody gets one, that they would only give them to certain officers that they are targeting for discipline.
And that's one of the reasons, that's one of the things that's always been stopping body cameras has been funding. Where are we going to get the money for this? So I'm supportive. If the city of St. Louis has $23 million extra and they want to use $5 million of that for body cameras, I'm supported. Unfortunately, the city treasurer, she came out against that use of that money because she's believe that money should be used for anti-poverty programs and to help stop and alleviate poverty instead of paying for body cameras. So it looks like a no-brainer initiative to be done, but you know there may be some people that bring up some opposition.
Yeah. What did you make of the fallout from the Ilhan Omar, Rashida Tlaib press conference? Trump said that Tlaib's tears were fake. Where do you come down on this whole situation with Trump saying the Jews that don't vote for Republicans are being disloyal? Rashida Tlaib and Ilhan Omar saying that they are being it's racist that Israel won't let them travel and that Trump's in on it. Yeah.
I've said many times on this station and on my show. Facebook page. That politics is not a game of logic. Politics is a game of emotion. And even though a lot of the people in this audience agree 100% with Trump saying that Jewish people that vote for Democrats are unloyal, we may agree with that and say that is true. But when you put it in that type of way, it makes people look like, hey, you're stupid because you vote this way and you're not really changing anybody's mind. You don't change people's minds in politics with logic. You change it with giving them enough facts and information and letting them come to the conclusion that you want them to come to on themselves, not you slamming it to them. So
right.
I think the president and conservatives are well mentioned when, you know, it's the same thing when they talk about black people. You know, black people used to be Republicans in one time. Republicans were the ones that helped pass civil rights. And a lot of times white conservatives can't understand why doesn't that just cause black people to become wholesale, jump the ship and become Republicans? It's because people don't view it like that. It's emotion, not logic.
How long do we have, Carl?
5 more minutes.
Okay, sorry for that long answer.
Yeah, I want to get and chime in on this one as well, Carl, because I want to actually take this down the road a little bit here. That's right. Last week we had the
that was last
MLS. Last week we found out that the MLS was coming. This week they made it official. We also found out this week that the name of the XFL team here in St. Louis is going to be the Battle Hawks. I don't love the name. Where are you at on the name?
Dude, that's lame.
Okay. Where are you at on the name?
I remember the Purple Stallions.
Yeah.
That's, so it could have been worse.
I guess you're right. Stallions. I guess you're right about that. That was going to be the NFL team.
I remember that.
It's the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Yeah, exactly. So here's where I'm going with this. The XFL is going to be littered with... I say two types of players. Yeah. Young guys that are trying to prove that they're good enough to play in the NFL, and maybe some NFL veterans that have been cut and are trying to prove that they can get back for one more run in the NFL.
You know who'd have been a lot of guys on the practice squad.
Yeah. Like a lot of third string quarterbacks.
Denzel's son, J.D. Washington, who's now a great actor.
Right.
Was a St. Louis Ram, but he never played a game.
Right. Yeah.
And Denzel would come here at the hope that his son would play in the NFL, and he played preseason games, but he was never good enough to make the team. So there are a lot of guys on the practice squads that will be on the XFL
teams. Who was
teams.
The Mizzou DN, the Gabe defensive player,
yes,
Sam?
Well, we've forgotten him already.
Michael Sam.
Like, the XFL would have been perfect for a guy like Michael Sam or Chase Daniel.
And you know what? Vince McMahon is someone that would take chances like that.
So here's where I'm going.
Because it's publicity.
Here's where I'm going with this. Mm-hmm. All the times that we have talked on this show about Colin Kaepernick, we've had Burgess Owens on a bunch, mm-hmm. and we've talked about Cap and all this. If Colin Kaepernick were to be the quarterback of the St. Louis Battlehawks, how would you react? Would you support a St. Louis team that had Colin Kaepernick as the quarterback?
It would depend on what his stance is going to be when the national anthem is being played. I'd give him a chance. Hey, you want to redeem yourself? You want to try to resurrect your career? But how are you going to behave? Are you going to kneel at the national anthem? If so, then I can't support you.
Which is completely illegal in the XFL. You have to stand. They've already said that is the policy. You have to stand. Vince McMahon,
but I could see these individual teams
don't have owners.
But I could see these guys, but you know how litigious the society is. I could see him doing it anyway.
Yeah.
And then saying, sue me. This is my First Amendment right. And it sets up a whole other thing
like
for him.
Vince McMahon owns the league. He is the commissioner, the owner.
Yeah, but
the NFL
owners own the NFL league too, and they can do what they want to do.
No, I know, but they can also implement their own rules on each team. Whereas in the XFL, there's one blanket policy that covers every team, mm-hmm. everything.
The NFL and has that too.
Yeah, but the individual
yes
teams
no.
are allowed
Which
to
is
do
why they, there's
can
a
have
lawsuit
their own rules.
Right now.
Right. The reason I bring it up is there a such thing as no bad publicity? If Colin Kaepernick plays for one of these XFL teams, that team in that city is going to immediately get all kinds of national attention.
Yeah, but you make money by people in the stands. I don't think people would come to the games.
I don't think you do in the XFL. I think the XFL is on television rights and merchandise. I don't think it's the people in the stands.
Yeah.
Well, you're not going to have television rights very long if people aren't coming to the games.
We're watching them on TV.
Exactly.
But I could see him going on a team like Washington, D.C. because there are other teams.
Yeah.
I could see him doing that. I don't think a St. Louis... Or maybe not even like a Dallas.
Man, he's got to play up in Seattle or somewhere, somewhere progressive.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
No, I'm
L.A., Seattle.
D.C., the town itself is very progressive.
Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah.
I could see people going to that.
You think the XFL is going to be a viable league? You think it's going to be around more than 1 year this time?
If they finally do what they wanted to do, there's always a contingency plan that they were only going to play at the Dome for the first year until the MLS stadium was built.
Yeah.
And so I think that if that does come to fruition, I think they have a better shot here in St. Louis.
Yeah. I think if Vince McMahon is not making money in the first two or three years, he's going to fold it.
He already did that.
But I'm just saying,
he's learned from his mistakes.
He's only doing this because he's...
But what I'm saying is he owns everything. So he's taking all the risk. And if this thing is not making money, even if he is a billionaire, you're not going to... Billionaires keep their money because they're good with their money. He's not going to sit and bleed money. You know, year after year after year,
mm-hmm.
especially when he's incurring all the risk.
He says he's learned from his mistakes from 2001.
All right,
Last question.
Yes. Should we continue to try to buy Greenland?
I'd have to study that a little more.
How did that get to be such a big story? It was. It seemed like a throwaway line, and then when everybody latched onto it,
but he was serious.
Yeah, I know. Even now, even the president's taking it serious and talking about how much he wants to.
I don't think he was serious.
I don't think he was serious when he first said it, but I think that once it became a story,
he doesn't
got
like
serious.
To be shown up.
I think that this was something that they were kicking around in policy discussions, and the news was going in a direction that Trump didn't want it, so he wanted to change the narrative, and somebody leaked out, hey, guess what? The president is talking about buying Greenland. I think that's the extent that goes, especially when they had a trip that was planned to go to Greenland. I think Trump
to Denmark now. He's pissed off the Danes.
But
now.
Before that, he had a trip planned over there, and I think he joked like, "Hey, let's buy Greenland," and he leaked it.
If we do buy Greenland, you want to take the show up there?
Is it cold?
No,
I don't do cold.
Greenland is ice and Iceland is green.
Yeah. Okay. So it's cold.
You know, brother don't do under 70. Brother don't like cold weather.
Don't go anywhere. Skip Weber is here. Trish Gazelle from 102.5 is here. And the Weird News Challenge is coming up next. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to The Weekend Report on FM News Talk 97.1.
If you lose me, you'll lose every day.
Yes, sir. You know what that music means? Skip Weber has entered the building.
Hello. Hello. Hello.
Welcome back to the Weekend Report, FM News Talk 97.1. Not only is Skip Weber here, but so is our friend Trish Gazelle, the defending champion of the Weird News
Looking
Challenge.
Looking for another one. Looking
from
for
our
another
sister
one.
Station 102.5.
Are you celebrating anything this week?
Me?
Yes. Yeah.
Oh. No.
It was, all right. We don't have to let you win.
You were the birthday girl last week.
We don't have to let you win that.
Oh, yeah. Shut up. Yes. You're such a liar.
So,
but I love you.
This is the 49th episode of the Weird News Challenge. I've already made up my mind what the 50th, what next week's game is going to be. It's going to be something we've never done before.
Greatest
it's going to be a unique game. I'm not going to say what it is. Yeah.
Next
it's going to be a lot of fun.
That's Roman numeral L.
Yeah, yeah.
Next
it's going to be a milestone game next
Very
week.
Very exciting. Yeah.
The question is going to be, who is going to be the defending champion going into that game? Yeah. We already know who the overall champion will be going into
There's no
game.
Doubt of that.
There's no
That's you, right?
Yeah, who is it? It's Skip.
I wonder. Just ask him.
So in so far 48 games of this of the Weird News Challenge, Skip Weber has won 16 of them, by far the most. And
one third of them
weren't even around for the first few months of the game.
That's why
we
you
played
only
the game
had
for a
16.
Long time before you even
no.
That's got
one
here.
Third of them. That's you know. There's three of us here, so I've won my share.
But I only started coming around this year. So besides Skip, who do you think has played the most? Chris?
Chris.
Okay,
I played more than anybody.
But I mean guest stars.
Chris is,
Guest stars
you.
Cameos.
Yeah. Yes.
No,
yeah.
I haven't played the most.
Yeah.
Have I?
Guest stars, absolutely.
Guest stars,
Katie
yeah.
Fitzpatrick is
Well,
that?
She was a producer, though. She was
so
part
didn't she
of
play
the show.
More?
Yeah, but she wasn't a guest.
Oh, I'm sorry. I got gotcha.
She was part of the show.
Okay.
Yeah.
She oh, wasn't so you a, didn't have any regulars.
And she's in, like, fourth now. Yeah. She used to think she
is
was the greatest.
Fourth.
Yeah.
She is
wasn't
in fourth.
She wasn't a guest star.
In fact,
she
you
has
guys,
her own rule. That's
in fact, it's you three, the top three. Yeah. Skip's got 16 wins. Chris has 11. And Trish has 8.
I've been stuck on 11 for a while.
You got to 11 when Skip was at, like, 12.
Yeah, I got close.
You came up and got it.
How long have you been doing the Weekend Report?
Oh, God.
Round about 48 weeks.
Because we've only been in the same building for a year. That's why I thought you had...
Probably was going on for at least a year and a half before we got here.
Okay.
Yeah.
Really? How do you have only 48...
Well, we weren't always playing
Every
the
week,
news challenge.
Yeah. I gotcha.
No,
I
didn't. I didn't even create
the Weird
this
News
game.
Report.
I didn't even create this game until probably a year into the show.
Oh, okay. Because I was trying to figure out how I would even be, you know, one of the people that played the most.
No,
because...
in fact, Chris Arps isn't even the original co-host of this show.
Oh, interesting.
Oh, yeah.
Can we say who it was?
Yeah, it's Donnie Fandango.
Donnie. I love Donnie.
Yep. So, he was the original co-host. Yeah. And Rachel Zimmerman was the original producer. Yeah.
No way.
Wow. Yeah, six producers ago.
Yeah, when it started, it was
Look
it
how
was
far
Rachel, Donnie,
it's
and
it's like the training ground for
Oh, yeah.
St. Louis Radio.
We listen, everybody moves on, and Chris and I just stay right here, and everybody gets promoted.
We're the anchors.
You know, Tony and I started radio like right at the same time at that point. Were you doing overnights?
Yes.
I'm confused.
I mean, I started on the weekends, but yeah, I was doing my first full-time
gig. So I would do the morning show, and we would see each other on the way up.
I would be getting off the air at 6 a.m., and Trish would be coming in at 6 a.m.
There you go.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's a beautiful story. All right, we got to get into this. So, like I said, this is episode 49 of the Weird News Challenge. It's going to be a traditional game, which means these are all questions that are associated around real news stories that are happening
usually
right now.
Usually involving food lately.
Yeah, and usually
Which, by the way, all the food ones I got right last week, all the dating ones I got wrong, that should tell you everything you need to know about me.
Now, I do want you to know this. There are seven questions, which was way more than usual, but you'll understand why. A lot of them sort of tie into each other.
All right.
So it's gonna. I think there's going to be a lot of...
Buzzers.
It's going to come down. There's going to be a lot of fast buzzers that are going to determine who wins this game. So seven questions, and the seventh question has 5 possible points.
Ooh,
so
I like those.
Yeah. So who knows?
Especially if you know it, you just clean up.
11 points up for grabs.
Yeah. Here. There you go. Exactly right. That might be the most ever. No, because we've had points.
Yeah,
ones that have been like 10 point
questions.
10
amendment ones.
Yeah, that's
yeah.
right. That's right. All right. Here we go. We can report. No, we got to test buzzers.
Loop.
All right, sounds good. Right. Carl Middleman is in the judge's booth. Yes, he's in the judge's booth. So we'll go to him if we need him. We can report Weird News Challenge episode number 49. Question number one. Katie Fitzpatrick rule not in effect. You can buzz in anytime you want. A famous rapper recently made a deal with the NFL.
Oh, I know that.
Jay-Z.
That is correct.
Yes. Darn it, I was too slow.
The black guy has to get the rapper question.
All about I'm gonna use this piece.
I would have quit if I would didn't get that question.
You think I would make the scoreboard before the show?
You think you would make a template that you have on your pad?
You're just
doing it after
print off every week.
All right, here we go. Question number two. Forbes put out their annual list of the world's
Dwayne Johnson.
That is incorrect.
Ooh.
Shoot. All right. Forbes put out their annual list of the world's highest paid comedians this week, and Jerry Seinfeld, who has been number one for 12 of the past 13 years, but he was knocked down to number two this year, who is currently the world's highest paid comedian.
Okay, if they get this wrong, can I answer it?
No, you're
darn
out.
It, because I know it.
You're
I just
out.
Went with the wrong Forbes list.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll go ding, 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 ding. And wild guess, I will say Kevin Hart.
That is correct.
Oh!
You think that the black guy would have got that one?
Oh, yeah. Wow. Oh, that one hurt. Yeah. I can't even come back on that one, yeah.
Seinfeld has been the number one paid comedian for 12 of the past 13 years, but he was just knocked off by Kevin Hart. Now, question number three. The only other time in those 13 years that Seinfeld was knocked down at number two was in 2016. Who was the person that beat out Seinfeld in 2016 as that year's world's highest paid comedian? The only other time he's been knocked off the list in 13 years. Who was it by?
I'm trying to think who toured a lot.
2016, highest paid comedian, according to Forbes magazine. Who is it? Somebody's got to take a
Wait
guess.
Wait a minute. I know. I'm thinking.
Got to take a guess. Never had anybody take a guess. Do you think you know over there, Judge?
I think I do.
Yeah?
You do know?
Write it down. Don't show them.
I'll take a guess.
All right. Trish Gazelle.
I think his Netflix special was after that. I was going to say it's not. Dave Chappelle. But
that is incorrect. Got to take it. Somebody take a guess.
The cable guy?
That's your guess? Okay.
Yeah. The cable guy?
That's not right. No,
Larry the cable guy.
Let me go with Amy Schumer.
Okay, that is incorrect.
I was with Trish.
Oh, you were? Mm-hmm.
But I think the Netflix special just came out last
Where's
year.
Where's the cable guy at?
I don't know.
No, not in 2016.
Who?
Larry?
You know who it was in 2016?
No, I cannot
Kevin
think.
Hart.
Kevin Hart.
It was, in fact,
that was trickery.
Question.
Oh.
Darn it.
All right, here we go. Question
that was
number
a good
four.
One,
you know, I
not...
could easily ask Carl to splice the tape so that I say Kevin Hart. Yes, you already have me on tape saying Kevin Hart once. Yes.
And me saying, yeah. And me saying that is correct.
Carl's driving a new car all of a sudden.
Yeah, exactly.
You know those oil changes you come get all the time, Carl?
Right. Question number four. A new report to promote energy efficiency by the EPA got a lot of reaction after it gave recommendations for your home thermostat this week.
What ding, 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 ding. 78.
That is correct.
You guessed.
I instantly shredded that report.
The rest of the question was...
too hot.
Yeah, way
even
too
for
hot.
Me.
The rest of the question was, what temperature did the report say you should set your thermostat at during the day while you're home? The answer is 78. Question number five. Okay.
That is a good... Well, never
I thought
mind.
It was when while
That's
you sleep.
That's way too hot.
Yeah.
78 while you're home.
With our new air conditioner, 78, the way it's designed to take the humidity out of your house, 78, seriously, it is cool in our house.
You
I'm
have,
cold.
You've said that. And,
it
and,
is.
And Brian Eggers has said that if you get
it
one
does.
Of those new systems...
You're
it's
you're
on 77, 78. It takes the humidity out of your house.
Huh. You know what I want to see? What happens is when I get one of them new ones and I put it at 62.
You're going to have icicles.
Which is what I sleep at.
You're going to have icicles on the windows.
All right. Question number five. What temperature did that same report say you should set your thermostat at during the day when you're not?
82.
That is incorrect. When you're not home, what temperature did that report say?
Mm-hmm. 80.
That is incorrect. Mm. Just a free point sitting
when
there if you
not
want.
Not home, so I will ding it, bling in, ding, 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 ding.
Yes, sir.
Let's
in?
Go with 81.
That is incorrect. 85.
That's crazy. That's nuts. That's even hot. For me, and I love
Why
it hot.
Why would you even turn your air on if
85.
You set it to 85?
It's nuts.
Yeah.
That's crazy. Yeah.
Question number six. Remember, question seven has five possible answers. Same report.
Oh no.
What temperature did the same report
Blue,
say?
82.
That is correct.
Thank you. I knew one of them said 82. I couldn't remember.
What temperature did the same report say you should set your thermostat at night while you sleep? And it's 82. 78 during the day while you're
that's
home.
That's so hot. Yeah,
82.
That's ridiculous.
While
and
I'm sleep. Always
that's
cold
ridiculous.
And that's too
that's
hot
ridiculous.
For me.
Yep. All right, here we go. Question
Maybe
number
in the winter.
Seven. So here's the score. Chris has a point, Skip has 2 points, Trish has 1 point, and there is five possible points on the line right here. So here we go. Question number seven. This week, earlier this week, it was National Potato Day, and a survey revealed the top
blue. Wow. French fries?
That is one.
Oh.
You're tied with Skip. There's four left.
Hash browns?
Number five. Man, you snuck that one in.
Baked potato.
That is correct. One more and you win.
I thought there was five. Wasn't
there's five.
You only need 1 point to win.
You only need 1 point. Skip
oh,
can't catch you.
Oh, I'm sorry.
One
okay,
more and Skip
hold
can't
on.
Catch you.
French fries, what did I
Chris,
say?
Chris, you're done.
Tater tots.
That is incorrect.
Ding, 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 ding.
Do you want the rest of the question?
Yeah, I would love to have the remainder of the question.
This week, I believe it was Monday, was National Potato Day, and a survey revealed the top ways Americans prepare and eat their potatoes. What are the top five ways Americans like to eat their potatoes?
So we've done.
She's got number one, which was French fries. She's got number two, which was baked potatoes, and she has number five, which was
we'll go
hash
with mashed potatoes.
Know,
that is correct. That is number three.
I know one.
You can if Skip gets
no.
his last one.
I wouldn't
don't
say
tell
it.
Him.
If Skip gets his last one, he will force the tiebreaker. We haven't had tiebreaker in a long time.
I mean,
I
know four
obvious.
Or five more ways.
I know,
but they're all kind of obscure. Before? Yeah.
What's the most popular?
Okay.
Of
so we have so. 1, 2, 3,
and by the
five?
Way, and by the way, yeah, and tots was six. It had, you said tots, and it was
so,
six.
I just totally
so
missed
I do need
potatoes.
To. And you can say I don't get the answer to this question, but
I can answer it.
French fries in multiple ways are all included in
and
one
in French
thing.
Fries.
Okay.
Yeah. So you not
so
you can't
like
say
julienne fries,
fries
or something
no,
like
no,
that.
No.
All right, so I would have man. So mashed potatoes.
French fries, baked potatoes, mashed potatoes, hash browns, and tater tots have all been said, but tater tots was a
I'll just go
six.
With, it's not going to be right, Lyonnaise potatoes.
I don't even know what that is.
I don't either.
That's what the, yeah. oh, okay, so.
What were you going to say, Chris?
How are Lyonnaise potatoes
sliced,
created?
Sliced up.
Like scalloped?
Scalloped potatoes, exactly.
Like the slice
yes,
of it?
Yes.
Roasted potatoes.
No, that's not. That's not right. That's not. Like
roasted potatoes.
Why
was
did
number
I
four.
Miss
roasted? How do you roast a potato?
I won anyway,
just
didn't I?
You. You won.
Yes.
That's speaking
good
of.
Job.
Hey, okay. Did you hear him?
No, I did not. I did not. What
over
did you
here
say?
He Trish said, won. I won.
2 weeks in a row.
Potato. Yes.
Potato salad was like number eight.
I don't know why.
Where's the au gratin?
Potato chips. We're number nine.
Au gratin is not on there.
I bet au gratin would fall under the category of roasted.
That's
no
what I was saying.
No, that's
cheese,
more like
isn't
baked.
It?
That's in. That's,
oh yeah,
you
that
bake
would be baked. Yeah, you're right. That yeah would be baked. That would be baked.
That's
right
why I was saying baked potato. I go. That yeah covers a lot of
it
stuff.
It does.
So.
It does. It covers all that stuff. Roasted potatoes was number four. Trish Gazelle has won again.
All right.
No one cares.
Quickly, let's do the tiebreaker. According to a new survey, what percentage of Americans say that they are at least a little burned out at their job right now? What percentage of Americans say that they are at least a little burned out at their job right now?
61.
Okay.
I will go with at least a little.
At least a little.
I'll say 66.
Okay.
52%.
91.
Whoa.
Wow.
Because at least a little. I mean, who's not at least a little? Even
exactly
if you love your job.
Yeah, right.
I mean, come
at
on.
At least a little.
Even a job you love is not as good as being at home.
Congratulations, Trish Gazelle.
Thank you. Thank
yay
you.
Right,
thank
very
you
good.
She has
very
won
good
again.
I know it hurts you to say that,
no,
but thank
no
you.
Next week.
You know potatoes and food better than me. Come on.
Next week is a can't miss. It is the 50th anniversary, the 50th edition of the Weird News Challenge. So we will have a lot of fun with that. Don't miss it. Don't go anywhere. We got more Weekend Report coming up next. Skip Weber's going to stick around. You should, too. You're listening to FM News Talk 97.1. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Hit that thing.
I don't feel it as well sitting down, though.
Yeah? At one point... You know, you.
Yeah, that was kind of
BB King sat down.
Yeah, I was going to say, you get to the age where you got to sit down.
Yeah, I just didn't feel it.
Maybe you're there.
I didn't feel it.
Welcome back to the Weekend Report. It's FM News Talk 97.1. Tony Colombo, Chris Arps, Carl Middleman, and Skip Weber sticking around in studio with us for a few more minutes. I want to. So we had State Rep Nick Schroer on the show earlier in the first hour. If you missed it, download the podcast on our website or the radio.com app and go back and check it out. Got great information from him about the status of the abortion bill here in Missouri. But we also talked about a special session that is being called by the governor to address something that has to do with Skip's industry, something to do with the laws regarding
trading
how many
in
cars you can
yeah
trade in, and it's can you
so
expound
right now,
on that a little bit and sort of explain what's
so
happening?
So here's what the deal is: when you buy a car, obviously you have to pay sales tax on it,
mm-hmm,
like you buy everything.
Mm-hmm.
But unlike everything else, when you buy a car, you have trade-ins. So the law right now says you trade car in. Let's say you buy a $20,000 car, and you don't have a trade-in, you pay tax on $20,000. You buy a $20,000 car and have a $10,000 trade-in, you pay tax on $10,000.
Oh, okay.
Even if you owe $15,000 on the $10,000, you still pay tax on the difference before you add the
amount. Because you've
back
already
in
paid yeah tax on
because
the other car.
Because you already paid tax on that,
yeah,
so you don't
the first
get double
time
tax
when you bought the trade-in.
So
yeah,
as it currently stands, if you trade in three cars or two cars or four cars, you get credit for all of them.
I
and
see.
We have that happen. We have that happen a lot. Somebody has... You know,
so people will bring in multiple cars to trade
it's
in
not, it's
to
not
buy
a ton
one car.
Yeah, it's not a ton.
Let's say
you're empty nesting it, or in your situation, you guys bought three cars trading
yeah
in one.
Yeah, that's right.
So if the end of that thing, if you go back down, your kid goes to college or whatever you say, you go, I got these three cars, I'm going to trade it back into one very easily. It happens. Mm-hmm. It happens not daily, but certainly a couple times a month.
But it happens, yeah.
And they are talking about taking away the ability to do more than one per transaction. And I don't understand where they're coming from. It means more revenue. Anytime you take that away, it means more tax revenue.
I thought you were going to say they're going to try to make you pay full taxes on the new car no matter what. Even
no,
if you didn't
No. The, what I've heard, yeah. I'm not an expert on this, but from
no,
what
no,
I've heard.
No, I think
heard,
you're right. Because that,
they said you cannot do multiple trade-ins. Now, I don't understand why.
No, because what you just
I don't understand
said
why
makes more sense with yeah what Nick said earlier. So, no, you're exactly
right. I don't get it. It's still double taxation. It's not right. It's not fair.
Well, it's not. So, I guess it's not technically double taxation, but
sure.
It's
paying tax on whatever car you're not getting the credit for. You're paying tax on that twice.
Yeah, or you're just kind of being forced to keep it,
But why keep it? Pay personal property tax on it. You're not driving it. Mm-hmm. All it's going to do is get less value. Cars don't appreciate in value. You should trade those things in.
Exactly.
What it forces you to do is to. Or allows you to do is maybe I can.
So you wouldn't be able to take two vehicles for one anymore?
You can, but you only get tax credit on one. That's what I understand the deliberations is
about.
Okay,
so
see, in Illinois,
you would take the higher value one and use that one, but then
there is usually two discrepancies.
Well, then
there's
you're right.
Usually
that
one that's quite
in that case, you're right. I misspoke. It would be double taxation.
Well, here, what's really bad is in Illinois, it's much worse, and they haven't pushed it through yet. But it's gone much further than this other one. They're talking about this other one in Jeff City.
Yeah.
In Springfield, they're getting ready to take away anything over $10,000. Which is horrible, horrible idea. Very, very unfair.
So $10,000 would be the maximum.
If you have a $25,000 truck, you want to
subtract taxes off of.
Yeah, if you have a $25,000 truck that you're trading in, you can only get $10,000 of tax relief.
Wow,
that's horrible.
That's horrible because it's doubling up on taxes.
And what that's doing is they're so dumb sometimes.
It's double dipping.
Tax people are so dumb sometimes. Do you know what that will do to a lot of people? Force them not to trade.
Yeah.
So they would have been getting tax on a new vehicle purchase, even though there's some tax off. But if the people keep their car, there is no new vehicle purchase, so their tax now goes to zero.
Yeah,
that they
because
receive.
Why wouldn't you just sell it personally?
No, you don't.
If you want to get rid of that car, because
you still get the tax credit if you personally sell it, you take it in and do it.
But if I have a truck that I think is worth more than $10,000, instead of trading it in,
you'd use
that money to buy
$25,000 trade in. But if you get the credit at the dealership, no matter what it is, as far as taxing,
I see.
You only get to use $10,000. And so my point is, if you trade every year and you start getting, oh my gosh, I'm paying all this extra tax, maybe you trade every 3 years.
Exactly.
Now, instead of getting taxed three times a year. Yeah. So the people don't understand. They shouldn't be talking about things that they don't understand.
Yeah.
And it's the same way in Jeff City. I don't understand why they would do that. They think they're going to get more money because this many people trade two cars in at the same time so we can get more money. Okay. Well, what it might mean is they stop trading two cars in.
They just don't.
And so, you know, or maybe we have two cars, we're not going to trade at all.
Right.
So I think the chances of the revenue going down from this in Missouri is less than in Illinois because people still will probably trade one in. But it's still, I don't get why they're punishing people. They're punishing people for doing the extra thing.
Weber Chevrolet and the Saturday Evening Rock Show. Talk about both of them.
Saturday Evening Rock Show, new thing this week.
Yeah.
Three themes.
Woo!
Three themes in one show.
Three How's themes, that work? 2 hours.
Well, we're going to do one theme for five songs, and then we'll do a second theme, and that'll cross over the hour mark.
Mm-hmm.
And then we'll close it off, I think, with six songs on the final theme.
Nice.
And they they definitely tie together. And once you hear the first theme and like one song into the second theme, you'll be able to guess them all. But it's still fun for me to do.
That's
cool. Yeah, it's fun.
That's super
and this
cool.
was a suggestion. My third long distance request.
Nice.
Long distance section. This is the second one from Texas. I've had I've had three requests from the area here, two from Texas and one from North Carolina. I've had more, but this is how many I've gotten to so far.
Yeah,
you've actually implemented. So it's fun. Yeah.
Saturday Evening Rock Show, the number one music show.
Rock station. I don't know about music. All music. Just number one rock.
Okay, number one rock show on a talk station in the world. I'm going to call it the number one.
The universe. Let's tell me
the
universe.
The number one music.
Yeah, I don't know. I can't back up that claim. So,
all right, well,
Tony,
I'll put it out there.
Yeah.
And then Weber Chevrolet, what's happening?
So, end of the month, we got one more week. This coming up week, we go all the way through Labor Day. Okay, so we're closed Labor Day, like everybody, in my opinion, should be, but we're closed Labor Day. And because a month ends on the weekend, Chevrolet brings us into the next business day.
Mm-hmm.
So that. You have a weekend, then a holiday. So September 3rd actually is our last day of August. So everything we're doing, all of our pricing goes through September 3rd. And it's very, very exciting. not only do we have the under $30,000 Silverado, brand new crew cab, but we have a ridiculous amount of Equinox sales this month. And there's nothing special per se about it. But when you have that high volume, I know my prices are right. Okay, and we still have a handful of cruises left. We actually kind of slowed down on them because we stopped talking about them. They're not making anymore, so we still have a few. They haven't gone completely out. So if you still want the last effort of cruises, we still have a few, and that they're down 14.9 where they were when we first started selling them 7 years ago. So there's a lot of good stuff. Pre-owned, same way. This time of the month, we get so many trades. If you looked at our website 3 days ago and didn't see something that you liked pre-owned, look again now, because there'll be a whole another batch of stuff.
Great stuff.
So
WeberChevrolet.com, of course, is the place to go to check out everything happening at all three dealerships. Just about a minute to go. What are your thoughts on the XFL St. Louis Battlehawks?
Can't wait.
Yeah.
I'm going to get me a Battlehawks jersey. I can't wait to see who our players are.
I'm with you.
I love football.
I do, too.
And I haven't stopped watching football.
I don't like the name, though.
Well, yeah, it's kind of silly.
I don't like the name. You know, I'm with you. As long as we have
five or six real Hawks and Eagles inside the dome that fly around and get into fights with each other, then Battle Hawks is fine.
Yeah, you're not. But the rest of the teams have
like real names that are actual words. Battle Hawk is not a word.
A Battle Hawk is not a thing.
The rest of the teams have real names.
It's a marine helicopter, though.
I like it all right.
It's a marine helicopter, yeah. But and everybody said, like, well, you know, we have fighter jets, yeah. You know, Fighter Town Boeing USA, here. Boeing. But the Battle Hawk is not a Boeing.
Yeah, it's still.
It's not a Boeing, I think it's all right. Vehicle.
I think it's all right. I think it's a cool
thing. Did you see if you turn the logo upside down, you can see the STL?
It says STL.
That's cool.
I like that.
I love it.
So that means our players are on the ground upside down.
Yeah, but to me, I'm really excited to see how they're going to populate the teams, because as a college football fan, you know, 90% of college football players do not go into the NFL. It's probably even higher.
There'll be
some recognizable people.
Yes, there'll be recognizable players.
It'll be fun, and it'll be another. You know, you always talk about some of your favorite players. Ah, they were just not quite good enough for the NFL, so they're going to go to Canada. I mean, I liked it when they way back in the 80s when they went to the USFL.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and the USFL's problem is they tried to compete for the top players with the NFL, and so they spent way, way too much money. Just getting the next tier, the people that don't make it. Okay, now you come to us. That'll be fun, and the football should be good.
Yeah.
It should be okay.
Yep.
Yeah,
I hope so.
Yeah, at least okay. I mean, it'll be fun. So I'm looking forward to it.
I'm excited about it. Do you think the MLS team went, oh, they took our name? No.
I'm still hoping.
We should have put it out there
first.
I'm
still hoping that the MLS names themselves Cardinals.
Yeah, I know. I like that. You're the only person I've heard say that. I like it.
I don't know. I don't see anything.
I want it to be Steamers.
Trademark.
I want to bring that Steamers
name.
Maybe
trademark or something.
I think the Cardinals would welcome it. Yeah. You know, when we had the Cardinals baseball and football, that was awesome.
The big red.
You make them look different. Different. No bird on the bat. You make it. Make the big red logo. That'd be
great. Henry Bird, man. That thing was.
I think Arizona's still using that.
I'm sure they do.
Yeah, but this is a different league.
Right, exactly. All right, we got to go. Stick around for the Saturday Evening Rock Show. Starts at 9 o'clock, 9 to 11.
Two hours, three themes.
Exactly right. Hosted by Skip Weber. Don't miss it. And we'll be back here next Saturday at 5 for another edition of the Weekend Report. For my partner Chris Arps, our producer Carl Middleman, I'm Tony Colombo. Thanks for listening to FM News Talk 97.1.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.